How are all of you today? I woke up this morning and I believe, therefore it's a good day in case you're wondering, yeah. I woke up this morning and I believe this is the first Sunday morning since last July where it hasn't been snowing. I'm pretty sure that's the truth. Weather persons and personnel can certainly feel free to correct me later on that point. We're going to talk about the death and resurrection of Lazarus today, and the reading is kind of lengthy, but it's got lots of action in it, so I think it'll be easy to follow along. And we're going to talk about this dead guy who isn't dead anymore. And so I thought, and just change the screen for me if you would, I thought this would be the appropriate sermon title for today, Day of the Undead. So we'll, Yeah, we're going to talk about, well, maybe not zombies, but we'll see what we got here. You know, we'll get there. All right. From John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord's feet with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair, and her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. After this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you to death. Are you going there again?" And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Unless you live in Western New York in January, in which case there is not 12 hours of daylight. Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, but they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." And the disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death. They thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Thomas, just as I said earlier, never seems to get anything right the first time. That work for you? I mean, I'm really, really good the second try. It's the first time around that I have trouble. All right. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. And Martha said to Jesus, and hear the reproach in the question. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" By the way, that's such an important question. And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." And when she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and he is calling you." When she heard it, she got up quickly and she went to Jesus. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. And so they followed her because they thought she's going to the tomb to weep there. And Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, and she knelt at his feet and she said to him, do you hear the reproach in this question again? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not the one who he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Hear the reproach. Now Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, remember Mary and Martha? Martha was the practical one of the two. Here she is again, being practical. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Not exactly a pleasant thing to think about if you live in a warm climate and don't embalm bodies before you put them in caves. She's absolutely right. Not good. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. And then he said this. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. May God add his blessing to this reading from John chapter 11. Will you pray with and for me, please? Let us pray. Lord God, for your grace and presence here this day, we thank you. I pray that as we consider your word today, that you would speak to us and that we would hear your voice calling us out of dead places, that we would see the community around us making space so this can happen and setting us free. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. A few days ago, I was doing what guys do. Now that I have your attention, I was watching television, and my wife was there, and Karen doesn't really watch television. She kind of is present in the room while the television is being watched. She's usually knitting something or, you know, doing some creative thing while I'm being a total vegetable. And I was doing what guys do while they watch television. Right? I'm channel surfing. Because guys, when they're watching television, you know, we find something we like, we watch it till the next commercial break, we switch to something else, we watch that for a while, and on it goes. Because, you know, there's never anything you want to watch all the way through. Occasionally there is. And I realized as I was channel surfing that pretty much everything I had surfed to was about dead things. There was this movie called Zombieland with crazy people in it. And then I came across this movie called World War Z, and sure enough, there were more zombies. And then I flipped over, and there was one of the Twilight movies on, and now we have vampires. And vampires, for reasons I have yet to figure out, were fighting werewolves, and I have no idea how that works. And I thought, as I was watching all of that, kind of mulling all of this over in my mind, it occurred to me that our popular culture has this really interesting and totally bizarre preoccupation with immortality. Because that's the point about zombies and vampires and werewolves. They don't die. They've been bit, and blood has been exchanged. And somehow, in the midst of all of that, they're sort of the undead. They have sort of gone through death to whatever this half-life, sort of not really dead kind of thing is going on. And I thought to myself, what is it with our culture that we're totally preoccupied with zombies and vampires and werewolves, and yet we can't hear, I am the resurrection, I am life? That somehow we have difficulty hearing that the message that Jesus came to proclaim to us and to give to us and to draw us into is a life that is of total eternal value, both here and now and into the future. Anyway, things that disturbed me. And then as I was reading Lazarus this week, I said, well, there we got an undead guy and the mummy movies all combined here, right? Because he's coming out all bound up with bands and stuff. And it got real interesting at that point for me. And I thought, well, you know, let's look at connections and all of that. There's a whole bunch of stuff you could talk about here. And I just want to, if I can, sort of laser focused in on the miracle itself. Because there's something going on here that we read all the time and oftentimes we miss, right? Jesus calls the dead man to life. Think about that for a second. Wouldn't it be interesting who have been standing there with the crowd, as I'm sure most of the crowd is thinking much the same way Martha was? You don't want to open that, right? That's what she's thinking. But he calls Lazarus out with a word of command, and it is so. What really interested me here was that Jesus could have done this 100 ways, 1,000 ways, an infinite number of ways, right? There's a stone in the way. When Jesus is resurrected from the dead, does he move stones? No, I got an angel that shows up and blows that away on Easter Sunday. When Jesus is resurrected, he just sort of passes right through the grave cloths, right? He's not coming out bound up. Nobody has to set him free. And I suspect that the reason the story goes the way it does is because Jesus is doing this miracle in the midst of community, that he wants them to participate. And so he says to the crowd that's gathered there, move the stone out of the way. And he says to the friends and neighbors of Lazarus, unbind that guy. He's alive now. Take the wrappings and the trappings of death off of him and set him free. And as I was thinking about those things, I thought, but isn't that exactly how Jesus always works with us? That we are partners with God. That Jesus is doing great miracles all around us, but we often have work to do. We have the work of moving stones and unwrapping dead things. I mean, we have the work, or recently dead things, if you prefer, that we have that responsibility. And I thought to myself, how many people around this community, how many people in our families, how many people that we work with are stuck in tombs? Because the job we have of moving the stones out of the way, we haven't taken seriously. That people are locked into dead thinking, dead being, dead end stuff, dead end life, death all over the place. And we have this job of opening those tombs up, of saying, wait, hey, you, in there, here, let me move this rock out of the way. There is another way. There is life out here. Let me just move that stone for you. So often we get stuck in dead-end jobs and dead-end habits and dead-end addictions and dead-end attitudes and dead-end thinking and dead, because somebody didn't unblock the way for us, so there'd be a way out of that. Those rocks of habits and so forth that just keep us from moving forward. How often does that happen? I'm scared to think about it, because as Christ followers, that's part of our job, right? To show people, hey, wait, there's life. There is another way to be, and to move those stones out of the way. Then I was thinking, how often do we have recently dead people around us? Those who've come out of those dead ways And they're still sort of wrapped in the trappings and the wrappings of having been dead. And we don't recognize it. I remember, this has got to be 10, 15 years ago. I had a guy show up in church who was a brand new Christian. He became a Christian on Wednesday and showed up at church on Sunday. And he was in a biker gang. And so he shows up in his leathers and those really cool biker jackets, you know, the denim jackets that don't have sleeves. Well, they used to have sleeves. They just sort of ripped them off and tattoos all over the place and, you know, a bandana. He was just so cool to look at coming down the center aisle of the church. And I thought to myself, there he is, still fully wrapped in the life that was and not yet moved into the life that would be. He, by the way, also hadn't figured out that church people don't generally use cuss words. As a general rule, there are those moments, you know, but as a general rule. And so he's just talking the way he's always talked. Now, that didn't bother me any, but, you know, there were some really churchy people there, you know, who were getting pretty anxious about that. And I thought to myself, just like Lazarus, there is this responsibility not to be critical, not to be judgmental, not to say, you ought not be doing that. That's not the point. But to help him unwrap his previous life so that he can begin to enter into a new life. I don't care if he gives up his leathers or his really cool the sleeveless thing. I'm hoping he'll clean up his language as he goes along. But he can go ahead and ride your Harley till the cows come home. I mean, that's not going to hurt anything, right? But to leave the thinking and to become. How often do we forget to unwrap those that are just recently out of a life of death? I've discovered this about Jesus. Maybe you know this to be true, that he doesn't clean his fish before he catches them. I'll bet you've never tried that either. The reality is that there are no preconditions to being a Christ follower. Just as you are, just where you are, just who you are, is where Christ meets us. You don't have to have now dressed a certain way or cleaned your language up to a certain way or changed all of your old habits or behaviors or whatever else is there. Just as you are is how he finds you. And then the community, we have this ministry that helps them to unbind and unwrap and move into and live into a new life. You don't want to unwrap the dead guy before he's been raised. Just a thought. But that's our job. Rolling stones and unbinding those who are recently dead. I know this is the truth, that only Jesus has the power to raise the dead. I cannot do this. I do not have the power to transform another life. Only Jesus can do that. But I know what I can do. I can roll stones to let light into dead places, and I can unwrap people that were recently dead and coming back to life, and I can call them into this new light. I can call them into this new way. And isn't that the point of the church community? Or isn't that, or shouldn't that be the point of the church community? That we're here to create doors of entrance, ports of entry, points wherein which people can come out of death and into life, come out of what was and into what is becoming and what is new and what could be in all of that. That's what the community does. We need each other. I need you to help roll stones away from areas of my life that are still dead. I need you when I'm coming out of that former deadness to help me unwrap. Now, I also have this other problem. Maybe you don't have this problem, but you know, I've come out of death and I've been unwrapped, and then every once in a while I just like to rewrap myself. Not a good plan. But I need covenant relationships with people that where they'll come alongside and say, hey, you know, that looks an awful lot like that same grave wrapping you used to wear. You probably want to put that down. Only Jesus has the power, but we partner with him in this great work. Who's rolling stones and unwrapping grave cloths in your life? That is why the church community exists, so that we can help one another on this journey, so that we can, as Jesus calls people from death to life, help with the transition, help with making the space for that call to be clear and to be heard, and to help us on this journey to live into this extraordinary new life that only Jesus gives us. That's what I wanted to say about Lazarus. That's not really Day of the Undead, is it? There's no zombies in it at all, were there? So I think we're fine. Will you pray with me, please? Lord God,